News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the show. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. And of course, this is a very snowy day here in Michigan's great Southwest. Remember to drive slowly. Give yourself a whole lot of extra time to reach your destination. And please don't forget to turn on your headlights. I've seen some vehicles without their headlights on today. That's not a good idea on a day like this. Turn on those headlights so others can see you. And of course, this is the show where we have extended conversations about things that you may have heard about on WSJM News as of late. If you've heard about it on our newscast, you'll hear about it on Our Take, but in a more in-depth fashion. We have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen. Coming up on today's program, we have a special segment featuring Governor Rick Snyder. He chatted with our own Pat Moody recently, and we'll run that whole conversation. Our Pat Moody talking with our governor, our man in Lansing, about what his goals are for 2018 and how he feels about the first several years of his administration. We'll also talk with State Representative Beth Griffin about some legislation of hers. And we'll check in with meteorologist Mike Hoffman to get a little forecast for the next few days, for the next couple weeks, actually. And we'll talk with the Van Buren County Sheriff's Department about their animal control office, which had to shut down to the public for the next couple of weeks here because of an illness that some of the dogs have. It's not a good situation, but it's not unheard of for an animal shelter. We'll learn about that on today's Our Take. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E. At WSJM.com. Right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we will hear a conversation with Governor Rick Snyder. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Thanks for tuning into Our Take. This very snowy edition of the show. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Now remember, you need to turn on your headlights if you're driving around today. A little word to the wise. Also give yourself a whole lot of extra time to reach your destination. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we would hear a conversation that our own Pat Moody recently had with Governor Rick Snyder. He appeared on the Moody on the Morning show recently to talk about the goals for 2018. He has several things in mind, that governor of ours, and so Pat Moody talked with him. Let's hear that conversation now.
Good morning, Pat. Happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Well, thank you very much. Same to you. So let's look back on 2017 and how you would assess this year and how we've made it through and where do you see us headed?
Well, we had a strong year here in Michigan. Economically, we continue to do well. We're overperforming the national average. We've made a huge comeback. We're a top 10 state, and we should be proud of that, from job creation to per capita income increases.
Would you say that there are any gaps in there that you'd like to see filled and, some of the problems that might still linger to be resolved?
Sure. There's still more work to be done. We should be proud of the progress, but not everyone's participated in that. So two or three things. One is we continue to have some efforts in some of our urban areas and also some of our smaller communities that haven't participated to help bring them back. So in our urban areas, we're doing more economic development work to encourage, good connections there and job growth. The other one, in our smaller communities, we created Project Rising Tide, where we picked a number of communities, 10 communities in the 10 different regions, on how they can help themselves. And we're starting to graduate some of those communities. Charlotte was a great illustration. I'm going to River Rouge soon to help them go through a graduation process where they've done great work to help their communities come back stronger and better. And part of the deal is I make with them is if we help your community, you agree to go help another community in your region. That's exciting stuff.
Now, I know you're a member of the National Governors Association, so you get the opportunity at least a couple of times a year probably to talk with your colleagues from all over the nation. What do you hear from them when you chat with them? What are the types of things they ask you about Michigan and how they see us stacking up?
Yeah, no, the good part is Michigan's viewed as a role model because of all the good things we've done and our extreme comeback. As we've seen new governors get elected over the last few years, they often call up and say, hey, you've done some great things in Michigan. How can we do that? And a couple areas they're really excited about that I'm excited to share with them is particularly like mobility. So we're not just talking about today. We're looking out for the next generation or so. This whole field of autonomous and connected vehicles is extremely exciting, and we're the world's leader in that. And people have a lot of concerns and questions and looking at how's the opportunity flush out. And the good part is we can talk about how we're helping lead the world and, you know, how to do the testing the right way, how to do it in a thoughtful way, what are some of the challenges and how to address those. So it's exciting, and we need to continue to market mobility because it's really the convergence of the auto industry and information technology.
It really is, and hats off to everybody who's said, you know, we need to make Michigan the leader in this because, you know, that's where we've been. That's what we've hung our hat on for decades, and to lose that would be tragic.
Yeah, and the other area that's really stood out is we've been the most fiscally responsible state in many aspects, from everything about how we do our budgets 2 or 3 months early to getting our long-term liabilities under control and really putting methods in place. So we had some good legislation this year, both at the state level and the local level, with working with the legislature to say, let's beef up those procedures to make sure that, you know, hardworking people are going to get their retirement benefits in a thoughtful fashion.
Speaking of budgets, how's that guy Matt Pasholka working on for you?
He's a great guy. Glad to have him on board. He was an outstanding legislator, and glad to have him as a budget director. And he's working hard. This is crunch season for the budget.
Yeah, he's a good guy. We've known him for many, many, many years. So let's take a look at 2018. What do you see on the radar, my friend?
Well, it's continuing a top priority, my very top priority, which is the career pathways question about how do we get people connected to great careers. We've done well, but we still have many openings out there. And how do we get people to understand the professional trades are wonderful places, welder, plumber, electrician? How do we do more in industrial automation, information technology, robotics, cybersecurity? And so I really want to ramp up those programs and awareness programs so young people, their parents, and people looking for that next career can say, these are great fields that you can go get a certificate after 1 or 2 years and potentially get a job that's going to pay $50,000 plus.
You know, one of the toughest parts has always been the parents who, you know, look at it as a, you know, they think of industry as a dirty job and they don't want their kids going, getting their hands dirty and all that. And we're slowly changing that. What do you hear from parents when you have the chance to talk with them about those types of jobs?
Well, you said it well. We need to change that perception because it's not accurate anymore. You're in a high-tech field if you're on the manufacturing floor today. And it's about robotics and this industrial automation. You're not getting dirty anymore. You're probably working on a computer console. And these are great positions that are going to be there for the long term. So this is where we need to do that awareness campaign. We call it Going Pro is one of the topics. You're going to see us communicate more to school districts and the young kids and their parents about. And then we need to make sure we've got the great programs to actually do the training itself, and we do, but we need to grow those.
Well, and, you know, you came into this whole process years ago, billing yourself as one tough nerd, and hats off to you for the emphasis that you've had on robotics, because the kids that are involved in robotics these days are absolutely amazing to watch.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, Whirlpool has been a rock star on our first robotics program. And we've responded. If you look at the number of first teams we have in Michigan today at the high school level, we have more than California and New York combined. And the world championships are coming to Detroit next May. So that'll be really exciting to really highlight that even more. And you said it. If you talk to the young people in these programs, you want to hire them as soon as you talk to them.
Very true. Very true. So after this is all done, you're wrapping up your current term and can't run again. What does the future hold for Rick Snyder?
Well, the way I view it is we just mentioned, Sue, I owe Sue some time. So I owe her a couple vacations. So I'm not spending much time thinking about that because my goal is to spend the next 12 months working really hard because I want to sort of say we're in the home stretch. So you want to run hard through the tape. There's a lot of great things we can still do. Building on mobility, building on career pathways, so many other programs. So I'm excited to work over the next 12 months to make Michigan even better.
Okay, that was Governor Rick Snyder talking with our own Pat Moody just before everyone headed out for the end of 2017 there. our governor talking about goals for the next year. He wants to focus pretty heavily on career training, skilled trades training, and all that. Now, I've caught up with all of our, well, not all, but most of our lawmakers from Southwest Michigan in the recent week. And coming up on Our Take in future editions of the show in the next week or so, we'll be hearing our lawmakers, our state lawmakers' predictions for 2017, just as we heard from the governor there. And a lot of times, their predictions match the governor's. They share some goals there, especially when it comes to the career and technical training. It's the wave of the future. Governor Rick Snyder wants to train young people for the manufacturing jobs of tomorrow. And as he noted, manufacturing is not a dirty business anymore like it used to be. It's high-tech stuff. You got to know how to use those computers to work in manufacturing these days. And we'll talk with our lawmakers about those goals coming up in future editions of the show. That's Governor Rick Snyder right there talking with WSJM's own Pat Moody. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd fill you in quickly on what Benton Harbor City Commissioners did last night. They met a very cold evening last night. It was the first Benton Harbor City Commission meeting of the year. And they talked about a couple of spending issues, actually several spending issues. Commissioners went over the accounts payable report submitted by the city manager, Darwin Watson, and they had several questions about spending, trying to make it clear that they care about how the city's money is being used. And one thing spending related that they approved last night was the purchase of some new police radios for the Benton Harbor Department of Public Safety. Public Safety Director Dan McGinnis addressed the commission. He said that he's identified some radios that the police can use because their old radios are obsolete, no longer supported. So they're buying 22 new police radios at a cost of $31,500. However, a $25,000 grant will help to pay for most of that. Public Safety Director Dan McGinnis told city commissioners last night that extra money makes the replacements a whole lot easier.
We were going to really try to kind of piecemeal it, maybe get, you know, 5 or 10 a year. Problem with that is that puts us back 3-4 years later, and then we have to start the whole process again.
So he's secured this grant that helps pay for it. City commissioners saluted the Public Safety Department for identifying ways to help pay for this purchase of new radios. And Public Safety Director Dan McGinnis told commissioners communications of both police and firefighters will be recorded over these radios. That did not used to happen with the fire radios. The firefighters would have to switch over to the police band sometimes. And so now they will be recording all communications.
It didn't make any sense not to monitor them at all, because if we're at a fire scene for an hour, 2-3 hours, and something happens, and we got to flip back over, it was crazy. So the answer is yes, they are monitored.
So that was a small expenditure approved by Benton Harbor City Commissioners last night for the Public Safety Department. They also discussed the search for a new city assessor. It's important for Benton Harbor to have an assessor. This is the person who determines the taxable value of properties, because they're in the middle of doing a sort of audit of the whole city, and they have received an application for the job, and the mayor suggested that they schedule an interview with this individual who applied. Now, some city commissioners had issues with that. They felt that the applications should not be submitted to the city manager, but instead the clerk or even the mayor. But city manager Darwin Watson last night said, look, in the end, it's the commissioners who make the decision.
All I did was receive and made sure that it got out, got back, and got to you. That was my sole role in this. I have no authority to hire this person.
So this discussion went on for quite a while. The mayor said it looked to him, as far as he could tell, the applicant they have received is well qualified. And the city manager said hiring an assessor is extremely important because the city has several tax tribunal disputes to work out, and the state has told the city in the past its local assessing lacking somewhat. In the end, the commissioners voted to go ahead and schedule an interview with this individual. Commissioners C.F. Jones and Mary Alice Adams still voted no. But that was the most pressing business from last night's Benton Harbor City Commission meeting. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will chat with State Representative Beth Griffin about some legislation that she's been pushing in Lansing. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that's been discussed on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this very snowy Wednesday edition of the show. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for the program. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought that we would check in with State Representative Beth Griffin. She's got some legislation that she wants to tell us about, so let's hear that conversation now. All right, Representative Griffin, now we just last segment heard Governor Rick Snyder talking about the need to promote skilled trades training, and the State House has approved some legislation to that effect. Tell us what this legislation does.
Right. Super excited to support the second skilled trade package out of the House before we left for the holidays. And this particular package was developed from recommendations from the Michigan Career Pathways Alliance, which includes K-12 educators and local employment leaders that work together to help better prepare kids to match to the jobs that are out there today.
So how does it work exactly? What do these bills do?
Well, this package of bills creates a K through 12 comprehensive program that emphasizes career learning and themes for each grade level, which is fantastic. It also focuses on engaging with parents, community businesses, and industry interests. And then it also provides continuing ed and professional development credit for teachers who spend time engaging with local businesses and trade centers.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows proprietary schools, community colleges, or skilled trades employers access with parental consent to high school student directory information for the purposes of recruitment and career opportunities. And then lastly, it permits schools to more readily hire professional trade instructors to teach classes that align with their expertise. And it's that last point that I worked more closely with Rep. Colley, and that was her bill, and kind of saw at a deeper level that bill become better and stronger and more responsive to concerns out there from the K-12 community and from the ISDs. And so, you know, part of the problem with matching students to the jobs that are out there today are to from the inside K-12 out, working to get skilled trades instructors in place that have the ability to pass on those skills. And so that piece of the package that will permit the school or will allow the school to more readily hire professional trade instructors, I think is extremely important and very valuable. And like I said, I think Representative Colley did a fantastic job with that piece.
So when we're talking skilled trades, we don't just mean engineers, but it could be things like computer technicians or plumbers even.
Right. Matt, just trying to help our kids match help them understand that the jobs that are out there, they can get trained for in school. And that could be anything from cosmetology to computer science to the evolving plumbing electricians. All those things are still out there today. What's changed about them is just is what the jobs actually look like. They're still there. Technology is changing how to prepare the students to do those jobs as well as what they're doing on the jobs today. And so, again, I'm just really proud to support the package. And I think it's an additional great step forward from our caucus to say that, you know, skilled trades legislation is really important. And we are building on recommendations from K-12 educators and employment leaders to address the issue. It's a challenge, but I think we're making some strong steps forward with this latest bill package. And from here, it moved out of the House. It moves into the Senate next. And so, you know, the next steps for this package would be to watch as it moves through the through the Senate side moving forward.
Okay, so I'm in some skilled trade. Let's say I'm a plumber. This legislation would make it easier for me to maybe go into a school and actually teach kids that profession.
Right, and that actually that speaks to Representative Colley's bill, and that would allow inside that bill is like a checklist for a school to go through to basically facilitate your or a plumber's entrance into the K-12 arena so that then the students can be learning from the person who's been doing that job. And you know, there are specific steps included in that process that would make sure that as a plumber, you may not have had, for example, classroom management experience with, like, for example, how to grade kids or what the rules are for, you know, professional behavior. And inside the bill, it's built in those checks that you must do as a plumber to enter into that K-12 classroom so that we're sure that two things are happening. One, that that you are prepared to go into the classroom as a plumber and that you know the rules and that you're going to be, safe and professional, but then also so that the kids get the benefit of learning from someone who's actually done the job that they're interested in doing. So right. I think that's a win-win.
We're talking with State Representative Beth Griffin about some sweeping skilled trades legislation that has passed the House. Now we have to wait for the Senate to pass it. And I do know, Representative, that Governor Rick Snyder is very focused on skilled trades, especially as 2018 enrolls.
Absolutely. And I'm just, as an educator and a county commissioner, I love speaking in this arena. I love helping develop good legislation for this. And I look forward to being real proactive in the future, just to look at other ways that I can help with skilled trades and better preparing teachers and students and businesses to just lessen that job skills gap, because it is a process. It's not going to happen overnight.
All right. That was State Representative Beth Griffin of Mattawan, Republican, talking with us about some skilled trades legislation the State House approved late last year. It would increase access to skilled trades training in Michigan. Passed by the State House, the package of legislation creates a K-12 model program that emphasizes career learning, provides continuing education credits for teachers, and also sets up a system that would allow someone in a skilled trade to teach that trade at a school. And State Rep Griffin was telling us this whole year is going to be about connecting students with the skills of the future. She says there's no reason why many kids can't learn a profession while they're still in school. Governor Rick Snyder seems to indicate he's on board with this. So that's one of the things the state legislature did as the year wound down there for 2017. Moving into 2018, this will be a big focus of our lawmakers in Lansing. Newstalk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now I thought I'd fill you in on what's going on at the Van Buren County Animal Control Shelter. Not the best news out of there this week. They've had to close the shelter to the public due to an outbreak of an illness that affects dogs. I talked with Van Buren County Sheriff's Department Lieutenant Jim Sharon about this. He's sort of the point man there for the animal control shelter. So let's hear more about what's been happening at that facility in Hartford. All right, Lieutenant, so there's something happening at the animal control shelter. I understand there's an illness affecting the critters there. Tell us what's been happening.
Yeah, it's called parvo. It's quite common with dogs. A stray dog came into the shelter and then kind of passed the sickness off to everybody else that was in the shelter. So a lot of the dogs have now contracted parvo. Mm. So some of them are dying because of this disease. So,
gee, so are they being treated?
They're being treated and they're being quarantined right now. So any new dogs that come in, we don't have a lot of space, so we're trying to limit that and then keep them separated the best we can. Right now, you can carry that. Like if the public came into the shelter, they could actually carry that home to their own animal. So we're kind of closing it to the public right now until we get everything resolved.
Now, this illness is parvo. Are cats affected by this illness as well, or just dogs?
I don't believe cats are. I just know of it through dogs.
Do you have any idea yet how long the animal control shelter will have to be closed?
Probably it's going to be about 2 weeks until all the symptoms are done.
Have you ever had anything like this happen before at the shelter?
We have had parvo before there. It's quite common for shelters to get it because they bring in a lot of unvaccinated dogs. Mm. So it's just something that we deal with every now and then.
So how full is the Van Buren Animal Control Shelter right now?
We have about 8 dogs in there right now, so we're kind of limited in, and that's kind of helped out, but, they keep coming in every day, so.
Okay, we're talking with Van Buren County Sheriff's Department Lieutenant Jim Sharon about the parvo problem at the animal control shelter right now. Anything else people need to know?
They need to make sure that when they do own the pets that they need to get them vaccinated. That can alleviate some of this, and if you see symptoms that your dog might have, throwing up, lethargic, get it to the vet.
There you go. Van Buren County Sheriff's Department Lieutenant Jim Sharon telling us the shelter in Hartford is closed to the public right now because of parvo. They're treating the dogs, and he expects it'll be about 2 weeks before the public can be allowed back in. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll get a little weather forecast courtesy of our pal Mike Hoffman out at WNDU. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed on today's program, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the program. We're just about done here for the day. Remember, when you're driving home, it's going to take you longer to get home. Give yourself plenty of time, slow down, and remember to leave your headlights on. We've had some complaints about drivers not turning on their headlights today. I know I ran into a few of them myself. Not literally ran into, but I saw some of them myself on my way in here. And so remember to turn on your headlights on days like this. Right now, I thought that we would check in with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman, speaking of the weather. I caught up with him about this cold we've been experiencing. Now, today, it's something like 15 degrees, maybe. I know it was up to about 18 when I drove in this morning. So it's not so cold today, but don't be fooled by that. The frigid temperatures are going to last. I caught up with WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman so we could learn a little more. So let's hear what he had to tell me about the weather in the next 2 weeks. So, yeah, we've been having some pretty cold weather here, Mike. How cold has it gotten around Berrien County?
Well, northern Berrien County, -5 was the coldest. Lake effect clouds tend to act like a blanket and keep you warmer. Now, if you want to call -5 warmer, that's what it was. But we were -15 in South Bend, so I'm sure Niles area got down to -13 or 14 in the southern part of Berrien County. So it kind of depended on whether your skies cleared off or not last night.
Mm. So how long is this freezing weather supposed to stick with us?
Well, I don't want to say it's going to be this cold again for the next 2 weeks, but I do think we're in a very cold weather pattern for the next 2 weeks. And it is possible that we get one or two more nights that were very similar to what we just had. So this is a very cold weather pattern. It's not ending anytime soon. But after the 16th or 17th of January, there appear to be some signs that we could go into a slightly, at least slightly warmer weather pattern and perhaps a big thaw, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Are we still looking at these single digits, or are we looking like around the teens?
Well, I think about half the time over the next 2 weeks, we're still going to be looking at single digits for, you know, most of a day. There'll be several days that we get into the teens, and there'll be a three or four days over the next 2 weeks that we actually get into the 20s. But that's going to feel balmy compared to this.
So in the past week or so, have we reached record colds here in Berrien County?
Yes, we are. We've set at least, let's see here, 3 records so far, either a record cold high or a record low. And the record low was this morning at -15 here in South Bend. We don't have records for Berrien County or Benton Harbor itself, the official place there. But I'm sure, you know, you've probably set 2 or 3 records over the past couple of weeks as well.
And this is the kind of cold where it can be dangerous.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if you are not prepared for the cold and you're outside for more than 10 or 15 minutes, I mean, most of us get by with less than that because we get in our car, it warms up, we get in a building. But if you have to be outside for any longer time than that, yeah, you can get frostbite real fast if you're not covering everything up, keeping it out of the wind and bundling up a lot. So there's no doubt it can be dangerous. And, you know, if somebody falls and hurts something and can't move and nobody else is around, then they can be in trouble as well. And obviously homeless people hopefully are finding shelter because that's really the only way to, I would say, survive through something like this.
Okay, that was WNDU meteorologist Mike Hoffman talking with us. So this cold weather is going to stick around through mid-January. Get used to it, folks. And I think Bill Murray put it best in Groundhog Day.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be gray, and it's going to last you for the rest of your life.
Maybe not for the rest of your life, but for the next couple of weeks here. So get used to it. The cold weather is not going anywhere. By the way, brace yourself for some more snow this evening. Mike did tell me he expects we'll get a good amount of snow tonight. So that's a look at this crazy winter weather. Take it easy. Be sure to bundle yourself up if you're going outside. I went for a walk on Monday night, which wasn't the smartest idea, but I was well bundled, so at least I didn't freeze to death. But that's something we can look forward to for the next couple of weeks. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, to close out today's program, I thought I'd tell you what happened last night at the South Haven City Council meeting. They had held their first meeting of 2018 last night, and first order of business was to swear in some new council members as well as the new mayor. We were there. The new mayor and three council members sworn in at last night's South Haven City Council meeting. Mayor Scott Smith, along with Councilman Joe Reeser, Chris Campbell, and George Sleeper, all officially sworn in. And City Manager Brian Doucette said, there is a lot of training those new members must go through.
The Michigan Municipal League, the MML staff, will be coming over from the Lansing area, teaching them about core city services and then what their legal responsibilities are as elected officials for both city ordinances as well as state and federal ordinances.
Indeed, when you get elected to one of these commission or council positions, you do have to learn a lot about parliamentary procedures, things like that. And the city manager, Brian Doucette, told us a little more.
We'll have training throughout the year. But what we try to do is, through the end of November into December, spend as much time as we can get with the incoming officials just to teach them so that they hit the ground running.
City manager Brian Doucette told us it takes about 6 months for new council members to get fully acclimated. Also last night, Clark Gruber was elected mayor pro tem by the council. That's sort of the vice mayor, if you will. So new officials up in South Haven, three of them, George Sleeper, Joe Reeser, and Chris Campbell, as well as the new mayor, Scott Smith. They are now all in office and starting to learn the ropes. That's what's going on in South Haven to start off 2018. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll take a look at the real estate market in Southwest Michigan throughout 2017. We will chat with the Southwest Michigan Association of Realtors about that. We'll also talk with the Cook Plant's Bill Shulk about Milestone, that one of the units over there at the nuclear power plant in Bridgman recently hit. I thought it was interesting. That plant is sort of moving on to its second phase of life, actually. We'll also talk with Kathy Effa. She is an emergency nurse over at Lakeland Hospital. She runs the emergency department, and she'll tell us how to keep yourself safe in extra cold temperatures. Today it's not so cold, but it will be cold, very cold again very soon here. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. That does it for today's edition of the program. I've been your host. My name is Andrew Green, and as always, you have a fantastic rest of your day.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There is nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
1-800-222-1222. 1-800-222-1222.
If you think it might be poison, then the first thing you should do is call 1-800-222-1222.
For poison emergencies or just questions, the Poison Control Center hotline is here 24/7 with the expert help you need.
If you think it might be poison and you don't know what to do, call 1-800-222-1222.
A message from your Poison Control Center.